Thank you. Right, my name is Eddie and I'm an addict. And it's funny, before I do a show, I'm fucking shitting myself, you know. And I'm thinking about doing a chair, I'm all right. But honestly, I've got that same feeling. Fucking hell. Anyway, I've got to start by saying thank you, Shelley, for having confidence in me to talk for 40 minutes. And I want to say thank you to Penny for taking the meeting and to Ted as well for a brilliant chair. I've got notes here because I'm getting old and I don't remember Jack. Okay, so anyway, first thing I'm going to say is that I love NA, and NA has actually changed my life and made me see myself as a person, you know. And I always go on the pretense of the therapeutic value of one addict helping another. Well, it fucking helped me, you know. I celebrated 6 years in October, wow. You know, and we all do it differently, but I did it going to meetings, you know, and every time I see somebody celebrating a clean time birthday, that gives me so much strength. So at this point, I'm going to say, Max Tucker, congratulations on your 8 years, you know. You're one of those people that, you know, when you walk in a room and I'm somewhere, I just feel grounded. And I'm not just saying that, I actually mean that, you know. You're one, and your lovely lady friend as well, you know. And you know what? I've got to say, NA has changed my life, you know, because I'm getting older. And I've got to mention this, you know, because I'm going to be 52 tomorrow. And I tell you something, people say to me, well, how come you know what, I always, it's my higher power. My higher power is always looking down, and it's my genes as well, you know? But the only thing about it is, I don't look like this in the morning, trust me. And I've got to a place in my life where I can be actually honest, you know? I'll go home, and I think I've said this before, I'll go home, and I take my teeth out, I take my wig off, I really feel comfortable because my son sees me, you know. And if his girlfriends come around and go, Mum, put your teeth in, put your hair on. But, you know, I'm comfortable saying that. You know, when I first came in, you know, I wasn't going to tell anybody anything, you know. But I've worked on myself and I am proud of who I am today, you know. That brings me to gratitude. I have so much gratitude for other addicts because listening to you addicts has kind of given me strength in my recovery, you know, and sponsors as well. I always thought I'd have one sponsor. I'm on my third sponsor, you know, and I always remember I lost my first sponsor because they relapsed, and I made it all about me, you know, and it was a man sponsor, and I thought, how dare he, you know, because he was the one that actually gave me the courage to be a secretary, you know, and he said to me that I was ready to have sponsees, you know, and then he bailed on me, you know. But you know something, I was powerless, you know, and I had to come to that place where it wasn't about me, you know, because it's been about me for so long. But it's really nice to be in NA to sort of like give to others as well, you know what I mean? Because before I would give you and I want something in return, you know. But I try not to live my life like that today, you know. And sponsoring, I mean, I've sponsored a few people. And also, you know, I have to remember that some sponsees will kind of say, listen, I can't do this. And I've had three sponsees do that. And immediately I thought, it's about me. And then I come to my senses, you know, it's not about me. You know, it's where they're at in their life, it's where they're at in their recovery. And I've gotten over it. But it's coming to meetings and listening to others that I've understood that, you know. Okay, a bit about my family. I come from a Nigerian background, and my father was very, very strict. And I mean, he grew up in Nigeria, you know, and where his father didn't show, probably loved him, but didn't show him love. And that's how my father was with me. You know, we always had to be better than the Joneses. We always had to study. When we came back from school, we had to study, study, study. And my three siblings went to university, and I didn't, you know. I was one of those, I mean, I'm not a book reader. I never have been. I never will be, you know. But there were certain times in my childhood that, you know, my siblings would be sort of like having conversations and I didn't know what the fuck they were talking about. Economics, politics, and, you know. And I didn't know what they were talking about. And I all kind of like, you know, and I felt less than. And my father made me feel less than, you know, for many, many, many years. And when they went to university, I really felt less than, you know. It's funny, though. I went to a convent school and I became a bully. And I can actually say that today. I was a bully. I was one of the biggest bullies. I mean, you don't believe it. I'm the shortest, but I was the biggest bully, you know. And I actually realised why I bullied. And I bullied because of my situation at home. That was why I bullied, you know. And my father, I was mentally abused and physically abused as well. When I say physically, I'm talking about with a strap or with a stick, you know, and that's all I knew. And I always remembered saying that if I have kids, and I always get emotional when I talk about my son, but if I have kids, I will never ever treat them like that. I'd always tell them that I love them, and that's what I try to do. Anyway, I went to a convent school, and it was at the convent school that, my lips are getting dry. Oh. It was at the convent school that I realised that I had a talent, and that was to sing. I remember I got up one time and I was singing a cappella, and a lot of the girls said, "Wow, girl, you got a good voice. You should take it. You know, you should do something with it." I thought, "Oh, you know," and I had something in my head, and I actually did. Years later, I met some guys, and I was actually signed to Positiva in '95. That's, I'm going all over the place now, but. Anyway, I started, I could tell when I started doing drugs. I was a drinker. Like, I had Saturday jobs and I was a drinker. So what I would do, I'd go out with the girls after work and I'd drink to blackout. And I'd always find myself in a strange bed with a strange man next to me, you know, and I didn't think anything of it. And I did that for a couple of years. And then when the kind of like big time hit, I was taking ease. But I don't know, I had my higher power with me, but I would never take a whole E. I would always take half, and then I'll take the half maybe in about an hour later, you know. And everything was sort of like, if I had a dressing room, I'd always want brandy, I'd have champagne, and I'd have to have cocaine. But at that time, I didn't think I was an addict, you know, because I was just doing it, you know, because it was there. Anyway. The shit hit the fan when I lost the recording deal, you know. And then I remember I was at home for a while and friends would come round, and it's funny, somebody handed me a glass crack pipe and I took it and that was it. I was off and running, you know. I actually remember going to Carnaby Street the next day to get my own crack pipe. And I had a house in Brixton and my son was with me, and I remember I'd take him to school and I couldn't wait to get back. So I wanted to take, you know, crack cocaine. And I'd try and stop and I'd go and collect him. And that time I was driving, I'd drive and then I'd come back again. To the time when I knew that there was something, you know, there was a problem. I didn't fucking stop. There was a problem when I couldn't stop taking crack cocaine. I remember I'd always look out the windows and I saw my son walking down the road. I hadn't gone to collect him, you know. And so he came in and I kind of like said, "I'm really sorry," you know, and I'd go to the kitchen and I'd come out. I'd go to the kitchen, manage making something to eat, and I'd come out, you know. And every time I'd go in, I'd come out, and my son would say to me, "Are you okay, Mum?" And I'd say, "Yes," and he'd give me this look, and I didn't understand why, but he'd give me this look because I was all cockeyed, you know what I mean? I was putting big bits on the pipe. And I remember that went on for a while, and again, my higher power has always been with me, because I said, you know what, my son doesn't deserve this, you know. So anyway, it got to the point where his father took him and I didn't see my son again for 10 years. I had the crack pipe and I had my house. The only thing was that crack wasn't coming all the time. It's only coming like, you know, when I got my dole check. So I remember I was walking up there to go and cash my dole check and some lady spotted me, well, she must have, you know. She came up to me and she said to me, "Oh, is it all right if I come to your house and smoke?" I said, "Okay." Anyway, we smoked my drugs. She had her drugs and she fucked off. Anyway, so, but the next day she came back with somebody else, you know what I mean? And that person handed me a rock in my hand and we all smoked and then they went again. And then slowly it built and lots of people would come. I thought, ooh, this is good, you know what I mean? So my rule was, if you want to come in, you've got to give me something, you know. And I tell you something, oh, it went from here to there, you know. I had people coming in and I was so fucked, I tell you. I used to like to play music, and I remember one time I was so fucked, I went to the stereo, there's no fucking stereo, and somebody said, you know what, if it wasn't nailed down in my house, it had gone. But I didn't even notice until maybe the morning time, you know, knives would go missing, you know, some of my wigs went missing, and I tell you something, clothes went missing as well, you know. I didn't actually realise until kind of like near the end, I realised that where things were going. But anyway, the house was raided 5 times. You know, and the 5th time, I was homeless, and I was on the street. But I didn't mention that I had prostitutes coming downstairs and using the rooms downstairs, you know. And kind of like, I never judged. I didn't prostitute at that time, you know what I mean? They'd come up, you know, the punter would go. Sometimes the punter would stay and smoke, and I'd always get something, you know. So when I was made homeless, then I had to sort of like do what they did, and I did. You know, and I did that for many years. It's funny though, I mean, when my house was packed with, I'll say crackheads, but crack smokers, I remember, I always laugh about this, I remember the pipe, and I don't like to glorify it, but the pipe, I'd always sort of, when it was kind of like all brown, I want to throw it away, and all of them would say, no, we'll have it, and I always never understood, why do they want my dirty pipe, you know. Anyway, I soon realised why. Anyway, I actually, during, I mean, prostitution, I kind of like, I have to thank my higher power again that I'm here, because I got beaten up so many times, and I mean, I got ripped off so many times as well, you know. Anyway, I get into supported housing, and then I started to go to this place called Clean Break, and I don't want to get emotional now, because there's one lady sitting here who never fucking gave up on me, okay? She always said to me, Eddie, come to a meeting. I'd say, yeah. I'd go home and I'd use. I'd come back, and we were doing a show one time, and I don't know, I had some, you know, when I'm coming down from crack, I'm not talking to nobody, but I thought, you know, I don't want to let them down, I'm gonna go in. So I went in, and I'd been drinking, and I was high as well, you know, and I remember I asked them, because I hadn't washed as well, you know, and I remember I asked them, do I smell? And they would say, no, you don't smell. Anyway, years later, she said to me, you fucking stunk. But anyway, this young lady, she kept saying to me, you know, come to a meeting. I'm thinking to myself, why is she asking me to go to a bloody meeting? Anyway, she said to me that somebody was, some celebrity was doing a chair. I thought, oh yeah, I'm gonna go. Anyway, I went, and I went to a meeting in Soho, and I never looked back. And I always have to say, Lucy, thank you very much for never giving up on me, because people like you that give me the strength to go on, you know? And I've got to say, Lucy, I love you, you know, and welcome back. I'm going to talk relapse now. In the rooms, you know, I've been in NA for a couple of years now, and I've watched a lot of people relapse and come back again. And I always say I have so much respect for people to come back, because I remember when I relapsed 6 years and 3 months ago, and I remember I was sitting in Stratford, and a friend of mine rang me. As I said to you before, if I'm kind of, I don't answer the phone, but I don't know, I rang this person. And they all said, she said to me that Avery was wondering where I was. She said to me, get yourself home, and I'll meet you for coffee tomorrow. And I went home, and I thought, oh, fucking hell, everybody's fucking talking about me relapsing, you know. But anyway, I mean, I got home, and the phone didn't stop ringing, but I answered every single call, you know. And by the time I put my head on the pillow, I thought, you know what, I'm going to go back. I'm going to go and meet her for coffee. And I went back, and I went into the meeting, and I was showing nothing but love. And you know, I thought, flipping out, my head was telling me they were all judging me and all this and all whatever. But I came back, And when I came back, I thought, you know what, I'm going to do this. You know, I'm going to do this for my son, I'm going to do this for my family, but more I'm going to do it for myself. You know, and I haven't looked back. So whenever somebody relapses, I always try and reach out my hand to them, because I know how fucking hard it is. When you relapse, your head tells you so many things, you know what I mean? I'm not good enough. Everything it tells you, you know? So I always try and smile and say, you know what, it's going to be okay. Because it's going to be okay if we do it one step at a time, one day at a time. And I try and tell my sponsees, you know, it's just for today. Sometimes I've got to practice what I preach, you know, because I'm sort of like, you know, weeks ahead, you know, and then I've got to bring it down to reality. But anyway, coming to NA has given me a life beyond my wildest dreams. I said that I've kind of like, you know, got my confidence back with the singing, you know, and oh, I don't know why I'm doing this. I shouldn't know how to use a fucking mic. Anyway, I've had an opportunity now, and I'm doing a show at the Young Vic. Now, this show is quite heavy. It's about sex workers, you know, and a lot of things went on in my head, you know, should I do this, shouldn't I? And I thought to myself, I'm going to do it, because for me, the reason why I want to do it is, it's like, for me, being in NA has given me the confidence to talk about my life and be open and be honest with people. And that's what this is about at the Young Vic, you know. And every time I'm there, I say, thank God for NA. Thank God for NA. But, you know, as it, when I'm doing shares, it makes, I kind of like find out something else about myself, you know. And what I found out about myself is that I did hate myself. I was ashamed that I was a prostitute. And I take that back from when my father kind of like, you know, was not very proud of me. I think he's proud of me today, but back then, my childhood's kind of traumas always come back, you know, and there's a counsellor on site, and I use her every Friday. I always thought, well, I'm not going to counselling because I don't need counselling. Well, I fucking do, you know, and I think it's good for anyone that can get outside counselling, you know, because our fucking heads can really sort of like put us in really dark places, you know. Anyway, so one of the things that I have to do, it's a song that I'm singing, and I always call it the recovery song, you know. So when I'm actually at rehearsals, I'm always thinking about some people in NA, you know. There's certain people that I think about, and I don't really mean to embarrass you, but some people like Terry Ann and Terry. Strong women in recovery, like Shelley, Lucy. You know, because I'm a strong woman most of the time, but also I'm very vulnerable, you know, and I can't be tough all the time, you know. I have to, sometimes, you know, I like a good cry, you know, and my father always said it was weak to cry, but, you know, my twin brother, bless him, he's going through a lot of shit right now, you know, so I'm hoping that I'll see him tomorrow. And a lot of people say to me, are you close? And we were close, but we've kind of grown apart. Yeah, that's how it is, you know. I'm inspired by a lot of people in recovery, you know. And it's funny, they say gossip is damaging. But you know what? We're human beings. We're going to fucking gossip, you know. And I put my hands up. I gossip about myself, but, you know, I try not to gossip. But when I hear a conversation, I'm like, and you know what? I mean, that's a defect of mine, but, you know, I have to hold my hands up, you know. We're human at the end of the day. But you know what? As long as it's kind of like, you know, not negative gossiping, I mean, I really don't like that. But it happens, you know. And also, I've got to say, in NA, when I first came to NA, you know, I have to say that, you know, my thought process was, I'm going to make a lot of friends, you know. But as the years have gone by, you know, sponsors have told me that, you know, it's not about making friends, it's about staying clean, you know. And I remember I'd be in a room and I'd see people talking, and I used to think, well, why am I not talking to anyone? But, you know, that happens today, but I'm okay, you know, because I'm okay with myself, you know. And I know that not everybody is going to like me, because I certainly don't like a lot of people. I'll never show them, but you know, that's our truth, you know. Some people get on my nerves, and I must get on some people's nerves, you know. I'm very loud, and that will never change, you know. That's That's just me, you know. But I try to see the good and the bad in everyone, you know. So if you're new, you just got to try and keep it in the day. And I tell you something, I have to say something, you know, this recovery thing is very, very hard. You know, I thought after 6 years, it's going to be a piece of cake. Well, it's not. I find, for me personally, it gets harder and it gets harder and it gets harder, you know, because again, my head tells me a lot of things. So I have kind of like, you know, well, I get a negative thought and then I put a positive thought, a negative thought, a positive thought, you know, but I always try to go to bed with a positive thought, you know. Right, I'm going to talk about my son. And I always get emotional when I talk about my son, because my son has been my backbone for many, many, many years. I told you that I abandoned him for 10 years, you know, and there were certain things that I didn't tell him about my using, but I have told him that I prostituted myself, you know, and he said to me, "Mum, that's not you today," you know, but I still have this little shame when I tell, you know, I talk to my son, but my son has forgiven me. And my son's going to come and see the show. You know, I said, you know, you're going to hear things. He said, "Mum, it's okay." You know, am I? I feel proud that I'm in my son's life. You know, and my son said to me today, you know, "Break a leg." But whenever I talk, you know, all the guilt comes up. And whenever I see, because he left me when he was 6.5 years old. Was he 6.5? And every time I see a young child, I always think, gosh, that's when my son left me, you know. But I'm going to get over myself. I'm going to get over the fact that, you know, what's done is done. You know, and there's lots of women in recovery that, you know, that aren't with their kids. You know, but I always say to them, whenever I'm having a conversation with a woman, I always say, you've got to put it out in the universe. And you've got to always believe that your child will be in your life again, you know, because we come here to get better and have better lives. And I always believe that our kids will always see the goodness in us. If they see their parents trying, they will come together again, you know. And I can say that from experience, you know, because my son, he means everything to me, you know. And it's like I was talking to somebody today, you know, and I don't want to freak you out now, I believe in that reincarnation, and my son is a reincarnation of my grandfather. And when I'm really feeling low, I just remember the times when I used to change his nappy. And every time I would change his nappy, he'd be looking at the corner of the room and he'd be laughing. And I believe that was my granddad. I never met my grandparents, you know, but that's what I believe, that the spirit's in him. Please don't get freaked out, but that's my belief. And I also believe that I'm my grandmother. I didn't realize that we had the same name. My Nigerian name is Ijaku, means richness. And I didn't realize that, and I never met my grandmother. I was supposed to meet my grandmother when I was 40, but I was out using, you know, and so I never got to meet her. And I've forgiven myself for that. Anyway, I've already talked about my higher power, but this is another bit now that's kind of really painful for me. There's that saying, you know, you don't get a partner when you're, you know, in your first year. Well, it's been about 7 years now and I haven't had a partner. And there was many times, I mean, I wasn't ready, you know what I mean? Kind of like, you know, when someone's attracted to you, it goes over my head. But now I'm ready, I can't fucking find no fucker. But you know what, I always say, again, I've mentioned my higher power. My higher power will actually know when the time is right. But you know what, I have to say this, like, I'm not a jealous person, but when I see couples, I think, oh, that's what I want. Oh, that's what I want. But you know what, if I keep it in the day and I do what's suggested, I know that he will come, you know. And I have to say that my head always taught me to, you know, I mean, I've been in recovery. No one's ever seen me with a boyfriend. Is she gay? And I love the gay, oh, I love the gay guys. I love them with a passion. But no, I'm not gay. But anyway, how long have I got? I might sing a song. You're falling asleep.
I wasn't paying attention. I was listening to you. Yeah. No, you go. got 10 minutes.
Oh my god. Oh fucking hell. Well, should I sing a song? No. Right, what am I gonna talk about? Have I said I love me today? I love the person I am today, you know, and it hasn't always been the case. I'm really proud of what I've achieved, and I'm proud of the person I've become. And I have to say that I didn't do it on my own. I did it with the help of other addicts. You know, they say people go to rehabs, and we all do our recovery different, you know, and I don't judge anyone, you know, because we do our recovery different, you know. I'm a person, I'm speaking gibbidy-goop now, I don't know what the fuck to say now, I tell you. But I'm a person that, I love my recovery. And you know what? I'm going to do something different. I'm going to, the song that I am, I'm sorry, but I'm going to have to do a makeup space. But the song that I did, it's called the recovery song. Okay, so I'm going to do something a little bit different. Okay? Just to make up time. Okay, it's called Feel So High. Living life on the streets was never much fun, never who I was. People stripping your dreams away, making you feel like no one. I believed I had to be free. I believed in me, yes I did. Don't know where I'd be today if I didn't have God who believed in me. I feel so high, a natural high you can judge me on. I feel so strong, nobody can take that away from me. Every day was a struggle, hustling, lying, begging for something. I had no morals, didn't care who I hurt on the way. I became like them, heartless, soulless, and a low life. I didn't give a damn, 'cause every day, ooh, what the hell, I feel so high, a natural high you can judge me on. I feel so strong, nobody can take that away from me. I was sick and tired on the streets, I wanted something better for me. So I decided to change my way. I didn't want to hurt anymore, no. I got down on my knees and I prayed. Prayed for all my sins to go away, yeah. Many years later, my prayers have been answered and I am who I am today. I feel so high, a natural high you can judge me on. I feel so strong, nobody can take my recovery away from me. Thank you, that's it, baby.